From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
Chris, we're especially thankful for those of you visiting with us, and we want you to know you are our honored guests. And we're so thankful to have you and encourage you and pray that you'll come back every opportunity that you may have. We're in the middle of a sermon series entitled Second Mile Servants. We've began this series by looking at the fact that we have a second mile Savior. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41, this second mile Savior tells us, commands us, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Go the extra mile, as we would put it today. And Jesus wasn't asking us to do something that he himself wasn't willing to do, so we know that we have a second mile Savior. But in order to be a second mile servant, we've got to have second mile priorities. We've got to understand what is most important. And Jesus, in Matthew 6 and verse 33, as we looked at last week, reminds us and teaches us that in order to be second mile servants, we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But second mile priorities, being a second mile servant, causes us to have a second mile influence. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Matthew chapter 13. The word influence is defined as the capacity or power to be a compelling force on the actions, behaviors, and opinions of others. When we talk about the Christian life, when we talk about being second mile servants, we're talking about being a compelling force in the life of those around us. Because think about it, what's the point of being a second mile servant? And I've said this every lesson so far. It's this, to deliberately look for opportunities to show God's grace to others. Why do we do good things for others? Why are we to be servants? So that we can show God's grace to others. For his people, faith, our faith, becomes the influencing force that helps someone see God's power or ability to transform hands, lives, and hearts. Our faith is to make an impact on those around us. It involves more and is to affect more than just me. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives us three parables that relate to our influence so that we can see the power of influence. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24, Jesus gives us the parable of the wheat. Some have it translated the parable of the weeds. But in this parable, we see that influence is rooted in authenticity. Begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 24. He put another parable for them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your fields? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? And he said, no. Lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus is going to explain this parable a little later in verses 36 through 43 about how the field is the world. The wheat are the sons of God. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The angels are the ones who are going to gather the harvest, and there's going to be a separation there on the day of judgment. But what does this parable mean for us when it comes to influence? I want us to notice in this parable that Jesus used this picture to describe a world where his followers live among people who do not follow after God. Notice that the weeds and the wheat, they grew together, didn't they? They grew up together. The master of the field didn't say, you need to go out and you need to go ahead and just get all the weeds out so that only wheat will grow. You see, this reminds us as Christians that we're going to live in the world. We're going to be surrounded by people who do not follow after God. But guess what? We still have to be wheat, don't we? We can't allow ourselves to become a weed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was talking about sin in the church, and he was talking about church discipline, and he made it clear that he was talking to the church in that situation. And he made the statement towards the end of 1 Corinthians 5 that we can't cut ourselves off from the rest of the world. We can't build a wall around ourselves and say, all right, only Christians are in here, and we're going to separate and ignore the rest of the world and everybody else. And we're just going to stay to ourselves. Because if that's our attitude, how in the world are we ever going to make disciples? How in the world are we ever going to reach out to the lost? As servants, we've got to remain wheat, even in the midst of weeds. See, this parable shows us the importance of being genuine, real, and authentic. Because let's be honest, the world's full of counterfeits. I like what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. He says, "For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder. For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." There are plenty of counterfeiters in the world. There are plenty of people who talk about following Christ, who make themselves look good. They look the part. They may even sound like the part, but they're not real. They're not authentic. We look in our physical world for this. We have people who are really good at counterfeiting. They can make a portrait or a painting that looks just like the original. They can fool even the most skilled of people. Still doesn't make it authentic. Now when you give money to a cashier, if it's a 20 or more, they either get that marker that they write on to see if it changes colors or whatever it does, or they look up in the light. I don't know what they're looking for, but what's the point of all of that? Trying to make sure it's real. And Jesus is telling us that we have to be real. We can't just go through the motions. We can't just pretend to be second-mile servants. We've got to have a genuine influence on those around us. And he reminds us in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, that not all that call unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but what? But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven, but those who are genuine, who are authentic. I did a devotional for our radio station this week, and the point of that devotional was this. I love Little Debbie Swiss Rolls. And I clarify by saying Little Debbie Swiss Rolls. My mom used to buy Great Valley Swiss Rolls, or Great Value Swiss Rolls. And I would always complain about it. And she said, they're the same thing. No, they're not. They look the same. They come in the same clear package with the white cardboard on the bottom, but they're not the same thing. They're different. We've got to be genuine. Jesus' parable reminds us that at the end, all of us are going to be sorted. Everything's going to be sorted out. And the counterfeit, they're not going to make it through that process. If I want to be found pleasing to God on the day of judgment, it's because I'm wheat. It's because I'm real. Because I'm genuine. And the fact is, authenticity will always point to the truth found in Jesus. Go back to our scripture reading this morning. I appreciate Chris reading that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus talks about how we are the light of the world. And he concludes that thought by saying this in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before the world that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, if I'm genuine, if I'm doing these things, if I'm serving others simply because I want to show God's grace to those around me, because I want to be pleasing to God, then what's going to happen? It's going to cause the people that I spend time with, that I'm around, it's going to point them to Christ. It's going to influence them towards Christ. That doesn't happen if I'm not authentic. Authenticity tells the world around us that we struggle with sin. See, authenticity doesn't portray that we have it all together and that we're perfect and that we never mess up. Authenticity doesn't boast of sin. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But authenticity does this. Authenticity causes us that when we make a mistake, we say, "I messed up. It was wrong." Authenticity doesn't allow me to make excuses to try to shift the guilt or lessen the guilt. "Yeah, I know I was wrong, but it doesn't work that way." You know, I was once told that if you say, "I'm sorry, but it really," that's not a real apology. And how does that feel with you? If someone does something to hurt your feelings, and you tell them that, and they say, "I'm sorry, but you just had a bad attitude. I'm sorry, but," and then they try to make an excuse of why it really wasn't their fault. That doesn't seem like a genuine apology, does it? Authenticity doesn't allow me to portray perfection or make people feel that I've got it all figured out, I don't mess up, I don't struggle. But it doesn't allow me to make excuses for my mistakes either. It causes me to say, "I was wrong. And I'm sorry. And I'm going to do better." You see, that's walking in the light. That's confessing your sins to God, as John commanded in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Authenticity points others to Jesus rather than to ourselves. And if I'm going to have an influence on people around me, I've got to be authentic. But influence also grows awareness. Look at verses 31 through 32 of Matthew 13 with me, if you will. Jesus says, "He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches.'" You see, the parable of the mustard seed talks about how even the smallest of seeds can grow into a large tree. And Jesus, in this parable, highlights the long-term power of our second-mile influence, of our influence. You see, we see, as second-mile servants, we see every opportunity, no matter how big or small, as an opportunity or as a potential to influence those around us to walk a life of faith in God. And the fact is this, we want to say, well, I really don't have an influence on anyone. You know, what I say or what I do doesn't matter. Nobody really pays attention to me. I'm not that important. But the fact is this, everyone that we come in contact with, we will either influence in a positive way or a negative way. And it's not, many times, it's not because of something big that we've done. Sometimes just a word spoken can be a negative or positive influence. But when we talk about the positive aspect of it, even the smallest of actions, opening a door for someone, saying hello, something small can grow into something that we never imagined that it would. I like what Paul writes in Galatians 6, beginning in verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. For the one who sows of the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. What's the context there? The context is sowing seeds of service, of influence. And notice what Paul writes there in Galatians 6. Because many times we like to look at Galatians 6, 7, and 8 by itself, and then we'll move over to verse 10, but they all go together. Paul says you will reap what you sow, positive or negative. But positively, we will reap if we don't quit. You know, we live in a world where we want instant gratification. I love Amazon, and I love the fact that I can order stuff cheaper off Amazon. But the downside is this, you have to wait 2 days to get it. And I would rather go and pay more for a product that I can get right then than to save money and have to wait 2 days to get it. Am I the only one that does that? I don't know. When I want something, I want it. We go through drive-thrus. Why? Well, not only do we not want to get out of the car, but we think that it's going to be faster. And if it takes more than 30 seconds to order and then get our food, we're frustrated. You know, we have internet, and it's come a long way from dial-up. But now, when we play a video and we click on the play button, we want it to play right then. If it takes 15 seconds to buffer, we're moving on to something else. We live in a world of instant gratification, where when we want something, we want it now. And one of the most frustrating things that people come in or face when it comes to evangelism, spiritually speaking, is that evangelism isn't something where you have instant gratification. You don't walk up to someone and say, Jesus loves you, and then say, I want to obey the gospel. If it was that easy and that quick, everybody would do it. But conversion takes time. Evangelism takes time. It requires us planting seeds, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Did that happen overnight? It took time. And Paul is reminding us in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, or 7 through 10 there, that if we do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith, if we plant, if we water, and if we don't give up, our influence will pay off. We will reap what we sow. That reminds us we've got to keep at it. But again, it doesn't require us doing something major in order to have that influence over someone. It requires us being aware of those around us and simply doing good, planting those seeds, watering, continuing to work. As I said, influence often starts out as a small thing. Many times it's a word or a deed that we deem unimportant, that may have meant something monumental to the individual, but for us, doesn't mean anything. Or we didn't think it meant anything. There's a story of a young man who was struggling with depression. Didn't feel that he mattered. Was contemplating ending his own life. Unaware of anything like that that was going on, a friend of his invited him to go to worship service with him for a friends and family day. And later, this young man revealed that that changed his whole perspective, changed his outlook. Because to him, it meant that at least somebody did notice him and cared enough just to invite him to something. We never know what a small act can accomplish. We never know what kind of influence we can have on those around us by even doing something small. But we need to be aware of our influence. We need to be aware that we will reap what we sow. Over time, a second-mile servant's willingness to walk with a neighbor becomes a safe haven for the troubled, a resting place for the weary, and a refueling station for the hungry. I love the words of Paul in Romans 15. Notice what he says in verses 1 through 3. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus is saying, it's not about me. Paul says, it's not about me. You know, I have to be concerned with the well-being of those around me. And I'm not going to do these things to please myself, to make myself feel better. I'm doing it because I just want to help. Because I want to follow the example of Christ. If we're going to have influence, we have to be aware of those around us. And finally, influence highlights accountability. Look at Matthew 13, 33. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. You see, this is one of the few times where Jesus uses leaven in a positive light. The majority of the time, leaven is used in the negative. For example, 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, even a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's used in the negative form there. Here, Jesus is talking about leaven in a positive sense. She took leaven, and when you take leaven, and I don't bake, but I've used leaven on a couple occasions. And when you put it in the flour and the dough and everything else, it disappears. You don't see it anymore. But do you see its effect? Absolutely. It's obvious. That's how we are to be, spiritually speaking. That's how influence works. We're not drawing attention to ourselves. We're not telling everybody, hey, look at me. But it's obvious that we're there by the impact that we have on those around us. Jesus is talking about our influence here. But I want us to understand that we can't have this type of positive influence without personal accountability. Without taking responsibility for ourselves. I love what Paul writes. And I've said that a lot, but I love all these passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 19, Paul says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all. Why? For the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Paul says, I've become all things to all people. Now, Paul wasn't saying that I partook in the sins of others so that I could teach them that sin is wrong. That's not what he's saying. Paul never did anything to contradict the Word of God. If he could partake in a tradition or a custom of those that he was trying to teach, he would do it as long as it did not go against what God's Word taught. But why did he do that? Because Paul took responsibility. Paul didn't say it was somebody else's job to influence these people. It's somebody else's job to reach out to the Jews. It's someone else's job to reach out to those who are not under the law, to the Gentiles. He didn't say that. Paul said, it's my responsibility to do that. It's my job, obligation to do that. And beyond that, Paul didn't say, I don't matter. Paul didn't say, nobody's going to listen to me. And so it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I say. I can live any way that I want because I just don't have that type of influence. Paul was accountable for his actions. We have to be accountable for our actions. We have to understand that whether I deem myself important or not, somebody's watching. Whether I think I matter or not, I do have an influence on someone. And the fact is, I can influence someone that perhaps you can't. And I guarantee you can influence someone that I'll never have an opportunity to influence. But we're not going to have that positive influence, that second mile influence, unless we take responsibility for that. Unless we're accountable for that and say, all right, it is up to me. It's not somebody else's responsibility to influence that person. It's my responsibility to influence that person, to make an impact in the life of that individual. Jesus calls us to be aware of every encounter because we never know the extent of the impact that we may have on the lives of those around us. And it's not about putting the spotlight on ourselves. It's about being the leaven. Where people may not see us there, but they feel the impact. What kind of influence are you making in the world around you? Do you have the second mile influence that Jesus calls us to have? But here's the truth of the matter. I can't influence someone to Christ if I myself am not in Christ. I can't influence someone to salvation if I myself have not obtained salvation. I can't offer what I don't have. And maybe there's someone here this morning who needs to make the greatest decision that can ever be made. The decision of giving your life to Christ, making Him the most important priority. Making the decision to seek his kingdom first and being that second mile servant. If you need to make that decision, there is no better time than right now to begin changing or repenting of your sins. To confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Have every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism. To rise up a new creature. To rise up to walk a new life. If you need to make that decision, I beg you to make it this morning. Maybe you've done that, but since then, perhaps you haven't been living the life that you need to have. Maybe you haven't had the influence that you should have. You know the changes you need to make, and you can start making them right where you sit this morning. But perhaps you need us as your forever family to pray with you over these things, to encourage you, to build you up. We're always honored to do that. If we can help you in any way, please won't you come this morning as we stand.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.